Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. We're also brought to you by Prediction Strike. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes. Use promo code SGPN to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts.
Everybody, welcome to the Hockey Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am Talon Jenkins, joined with our host here, Ryan Gilbert and Joel Meyer. How we doing, boys?
Doing pretty well. This is Ryan coming off a nice Flyers win. I think we swept our locks tonight. Really just a good night all around here for our hockey betting.
Yeah, my picks have been shit, but I won the lock, so there's that.
Yeah, that's all that matters, eh? We stand by those locks. Our percentages went up. We'll definitely get to that in a bit. Again, before we go, just like to announce our podcast, the SGPN Hockey Gambling Podcast, is now available on Apple, Spotify. You can search Hockey Gambling Podcast anywhere online as well. By all means, guys, subscribe, follow, rate, review. If it's a shitty review, you don't like what we're doing, that's okay too. Just let us know, give us some feedback. We're happy to hear it. All right, and before we do get going tonight, guys, and we'll talk around the league. There's a lot of talks about the Chicago Blackhawks and the sexual assault case going on. By all means, we would like to recommend everybody to go over on Twitter and check out Rick Westhead. He has a lot of good information about everything that's going on there. You can find him at rwesthead on Twitter. TSN, if you're in Canada, has videos of some information going on worth checking out, and I believe that would be covered by ESPN if you are in the States. So it's a pretty big deal. It is important that we do address it. We're going to send you their way, though. They can everything that's being said there, they can say it 10 times better than we could here. So by all means, we just figured that we'd let you guys know, and we'll go on from here. All right, boys, well, we're going to jump into our mortal locks here. Based on last show, we had some, we did okay, all things considered, on the week. Tuesday might have been a bit shaky, but I know today, Wednesday, we did pretty good. I got to say, I had a pretty damn greasy pick considering the line moved before our podcast even fucking dropped. I had the Pittsburgh Penguins Tampa Bay under at 6.5. When we woke up the next morning, Joel sent a message saying the line already dropped to 5.5. So got a little lucky on that one, and the score ended up being 5-1. So I'll count it as a win, but I'm not proud of it.
Yeah, of course there was that late empty netter, right, to get the sixth goal. And I eventually paid up for the under six, so that late goal push, like that goal just got me a push to screw me. But you got the 6.5. Hey, if you listen to us early, if you subscribe to us, you're gonna get those good lines. So you got to do that.
Yeah, it's not your fault, man, because that's just such a good bet. It's not your fault the line moved. You're just on it early. That was the best bet of the week, really.
And that's the thing too, guys, to our listeners, keep don't be afraid to look a day or two ahead either. You know, a lot of the times the lines will be a bit higher, and then the next day before the game, they'll start to drop. So plan ahead a bit.
Yeah, Tuesday night, my lock did not do as well. I had the Avalanche. They just kind of came out flat against the Golden Knights, who took them down in Colorado. But we all got back at it on Wednesday, so that's what matters, getting back on the horse and keeping our percentage rising.
Well, your Tuesday lock was a lot better than mine. Flames were winning 4-0 after 12 minutes in the first. Devils were out of it in the first period. It was, yeah. They made a little bit of a comeback later on, but they were never in it.
What a mess that game was. I couldn't believe it. You messaged us in the Slack group there, and I was like, holy shit, there's no way it's 4-0 10 minutes into the game. But...
Yeah. Well, at least you can count the money out early on. You don't have to sweat it at all.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Go make you suffer. Well, we did okay tonight, though. I don't know. What did you boys have for your locks tonight?
I had the Panthers riding the undefeated team. Big 4-1 win over the Bruins at home. Had them at -130. So I felt like that was a really good line on them, and it came through.
Yeah, whereas my Tuesday lock was over early, this one is over early in a good way. The over 6.5 in the Flyers Oilers game, that was just goals galore early on, and yeah, that cash 1 minute into the second period. So it's always nice when that comes through so early.
Yeah, it's nice to know, like you said, about the other one, kind of the opposite, but at least you don't have to sweat it out, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I had the under 5.5 in the Dallas-Vegas game. It went into overtime at 2-2, and Vegas ended up winning 3-2. So the that extra half point saved me, that's for sure, but we'll take it.
That was a bad beat for me, too. I bet the Stars fuck. Yeah, another empty net goal just screws me over. Ugh.
I had the Stars and under 5.5 in a parlay, and just it's tough. It's tough.
The Stars were the much better team. Like they should not have even been close. Should have been 5-1, really. Still pissed.
It's how it goes sometimes. How it goes.
All right, boys. Well, we'll keep jumping down here. We'll jump into some NHL news and discussions since last time we talked. Recently, PK Subban fined $5,000 for they call it a trip on Milan Lucic. It's more like an old-fashioned can opener, eh? But it's kind of crazy. He did the same things on Ryan Reeves a few games ago in New York, did he not? Like, those are two pretty tough guys to pull off some slew foots on if you're going to go after Lucic and Ryan Reeves, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, I saw a video on Twitter of them, like, together, just, like, a few days apart. It's just, that's the type of things that, like, gets overlooked by fans when they're talking about taking dirty plays out of the game. But that can, like, fuck up someone's knee. You can never know what's happened with that. Like, people talking about taking fighting out of the game and concussions and all stuff like that. But you also got to look at trips like that. I mean, he got a $5,000 fine, which seems like a lot, but it's not a lot to him. But
No,
but it's just how it goes. And that's what's happening. And hopefully they can find a way to get that out of the game.
Yeah, he might be taking out his frustration out on Ryan Reeves because he's not a good player anymore. So
poor old PK, eh?
Yeah.
All right, well, moving down here, speaking of defensemen, LA Kings fans are going to be pretty upset. It sounds like Drew Doughty's out 8 weeks with a right knee contusion that he suffered against the Dallas Stars a bit earlier in the week. You know what? As soon as I read this, what jumped out to me is I totally forgot, because of the COVID seasons, the rivalry that Drew Doughty had with Matthew Tkachuk. And I was so damn fired up for that this year because we haven't seen it the past 2 years with COVID, right? And then now with Doughty out 8 weeks, it's going to be postponed that much longer.
Yeah, the Kings are not off to a good start either. So, and I think they lost Sean Walker too, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, so, their defense, I mean, they got Edler in the offseason, but their defense has really taken a big hit. And Kopitar started out well, but besides that, their defense is lacking. So we could see the Kings kind of be one of the teams to fade in the next few weeks and maybe for the whole season.
They also lost Quentin Byfield in the preseason for the same amount of time too, so they're hurting. And I feel bad for Drew Doughty too. Love the player, and he's really looking forward to trying out for the Olympic team. But this doesn't help his chances there.
You know, I didn't even think about that. That's a good point. Hey, this, all things considered, probably his last kick at the can for it. So that's got to be a heartbreak for the guy. And moving down, a last thing, some minor rumors coming out of Vegas here that Buffalo has been kicking up trade talks with Vegas for the Jack Eichel saga here. I don't know, boys. I know Vegas has about $6.5 million in cap room. They do have a lot of guys on the LTIR right now, so they could potentially afford him for the season and then pull a Tampa and bring everybody back for playoffs. But with the way this team's rolling, are they even going to make it to playoffs?
I think this is a team that's built for, they're going to make the playoffs one way or another, given the division they're in. And Eichel is, I mean, every team can use an Eichel, but Eichel is exactly what the Golden Knights need. They need a center. Their center depth is really, really lacking. It's really being exposed even though they're missing two wingers, their center depth is being exposed as their whole forward depth being exposed. So I feel like Eichel to Vegas makes the most sense. I saw it might be like a 4 month out from when Eichel would get surgery. So that would bring him back for the playoffs, if not before that. So if there's a team that's going to be in on him, I think it will be Vegas. It's just a matter of time to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, for sure. I don't have much to add there. You know, Vegas, they like to swing big, these star players, and they do need the center. So this makes perfect sense. If Eichel can get healthy and playing again, that'd be good to see him. Yeah, Vegas is fine too. I don't expect them to miss the playoffs at all. In fact, I expect them to win the division still.
Yeah, it's a good point too. Like you brought up, Ryan, it is a bit of a weaker division, so it shouldn't be a problem. As far as assets go, Vegas does currently have their first and second round picks for the next 3 years, so that could kind of help sway things. And they do have, as far as prospects go, Peyton Krebs and Nicholas Hag. Maybe that's enough to get a deal done. I mean, it's starting to get to the point that Buffalo might not be able to pick and choose what they do get, right? So if there is a strong package there, by all means, take it. Vegas did say that, or sorry, Buffalo said rather that they're not willing to retain any salary. And truth be told, for the length still left on the contract, you can't really blame them for that.
Yeah, Vegas has Riley Smith at a $5 million cap hit. He's a free agent after this season, so maybe you could see him go the other way, just kind of offset some of that salary if you have to. But that's just an option that they may look into.
Well, it would work out so the Sabres can load up for their inevitable playoff run this year, because they're still red hot. That's a joke, by the way. Don't worry.
Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WynnBET has some brand new bonuses. New users can bet $1 and win $100 on any sport. Plus, you can get up to $1,500 as a free bet on WynnBET if you make a first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your first wager is, WynnBET will match it 200%. For example, if you bet $100, you'll get a $200 free bet. The max wager match is $750 for a $1,500 match. Why not use some of those bonuses to bet on our Mortal Locks this week? Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com. We're brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Go check out the new PropSwap.com, which is packed with fresh features like filtering tickets based on value to find the best odds available. You can browse the activity feed to stay in the know, and there's a loyalty rewards program that turns sales into extra cash and much more. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit, and PropSwap will match it up to $500. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. With PropSwap, your bet doesn't need to win in order to make money. It just needs to improve. When making your bets, always make sure to go for two. Make two tickets on the same team or player so you can sell one for a profit and keep one to leave yourself some skin in the game. Thousands of buyers across the country are shopping for tickets on PropSwap every day. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets.
All right, moving down here, guys. Kind of a cool little thing as far as, and it's pretty important too as far as gambling goes. Everybody knows that goaltending is a pretty big asset for a team to have in the NHL, and it does affect any bets that you might make too. So we're going to jump into four of the top goalies statistically we do have in the league this year. We're going to see if they're the real deal, and then after that we're going to go more so towards the opposite end, four goalies that are struggling right now. Keep in mind, we are still early in the season. I feel like we say that every time we do one of these segments. Qualifications to meet this list, the attendees do have to play at least four games. So we'll start it off here. Elvis Merzlikins for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Four games played. He's currently 4-0-0, 1.48 goals against average, and a .952 save percentage. Is this sustainable for Merzlikins out there in Columbus, or what?
I mean, these are impressive numbers, so it made me look into who he's played against so far. And looking at the opposition, I don't know if it's very sustainable. He made 36 saves on 38 shots against the Coyotes, and he allowed one goal to the Kraken, two to the Islanders, and one to the Stars. So I feel like once Columbus gets more kind of Metropolitan Division games going, he may see those numbers take a hit. But I mean, he is a solid goalie. The Blue Jackets could play spoiler if he kind of keeps this up. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs or push for that at all, but they'll definitely have an impact based on what teams they can win against later in the season.
Yeah, Brad Larson, the heir to the Blue Jackets there from John Tortorella, he's got them playing the same kind of style of the defensive system, so it's easier as a goaltender that way. But yeah, like you said, they just played a bunch of bad offensive teams, so those numbers will regress for sure. Blue Jackets should end up towards the bottom of the division towards the end of the year.
Yep, fair enough. Moving down here, we have my boy, Frederik Andersen from the Carolina Hurricanes. Currently five games played. He's 5-0-0, 1.60 goals against average, .946 save percentage. Obviously, it's no... You know, it's no surprise that Carolina is one of the best teams in the league. They're going to have one of the top goalies, and the goalie stats is going to reflect that as well. But based off the 5 years I watched Freddie, you know, night in, night out in Toronto, he's a pretty steady guy. Rebound control isn't too much of an issue on most nights. They got a good guy in net for Carolina there. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, Andersen, he seems pretty steady. His save percentage, I mean, three years in a row, 919, 918, 918 back in the 2015 to 2018 season. So I feel like going to Carolina, that's a good system there. It's a good team. They're going to surprise a lot of people this year. They're one of the best teams in the league, I feel. I mean, he also hasn't played many good teams. I mean, he played the Leafs the other night, so that's not a great team there. But yeah, Andersen. Yeah, Hurricanes are going to be good, especially with Andersen in net.
Steady Freddy, man. He's a good regular season goaltender, but it seems to me like he always kind of fell apart in the playoffs. I could be wrong. Talon knows better than I do, but
yeah, you're not wrong.
Okay. But yeah, Carolina's easy on their goaltenders. They do a good job of preventing a lot of quality chances. So yeah, those numbers might be a little inflated relative to his talent. But that's all he has to do. Yeah, he just has to be steady. Steady Freddy. Let's go.
It kind of puts that Nedeljkovic trade out of sight, out of mind a little bit, at least.
Exactly.
Now, moving down here, we talked about Freddie Andersen. But, boys, what about the other Andersen in the league? What about 40-year-old Craig Andersen holding down the fort in Buffalo? Four games played, 3-1-0, a 1.76 goals against average, and a .944 save percentage. I don't even know what to say about those numbers. This is ridiculous for a guy his age. Obviously, it's only four games played, but the fact that he's still doing this, and for Buffalo, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, the fact that the Sabres have four wins this season is mind-blowing. I don't know. Andersen made 35 saves and allowed one goal to the Lightning his last time out. So, like, I don't know. But he's 40 years old. He'll regress sometime. But, you know, it's a good story. Good for him early in the season.
Yeah, you got to root for the old man. I'm surprised he's not on a 750K salary either, like half the rest of their team, right? Buffalo is, they're doing well now. I mean, it'll fall apart, but You gotta like what you've seen so far.
Yeah, 100%. And especially after everything that happened this past offseason, if anybody deserves a fairy tale story, it's the fans in Buffalo there. So good for them. Hopefully it lasts a little bit longer. But like you guys said, I wouldn't hold my breath. Moving down here, we have the man, former Vezina winner, former friggin' ghost the past 2 years, Sergei Bobrovsky for the Florida Panthers. 4 games played, 4-0-0, 1.99 goals against average, and a .942 save percentage. I think this might fall into the same category as Freddie Anderson in Carolina there. He's playing behind a great team, strong defensively minded. That goes a long way for these numbers that we're talking about. But we have seen Bob struggle in the past as well, right? So kudos to him for the hot start. But what do you boys think?
Yeah, the two-time Vezina winner. I mean, last year, he had 2 seasons to kind of get acclimated in Florida and didn't really do too well. But it looks like this kind of finally having another normal season here is doing well for him. And the good thing for the Panthers is if he does fall off somehow or has a bad game, they have Spencer Knight to just fill right in, who's just as good, if not could be better than him. So Florida's really a really tough team with two great goalies.
This is one where I have to disagree with you, Talon. I don't think that this is a product of Florida's system. I think this is Bobrovsky just stepping up big. He's the most surprising guy on this list. He is totally rejuvenated his career. He is playing awesome. He won the game today against the Bruins. Fuck him. But the Bruins. But yeah, he made numerous saves. And then the Bruins, when they didn't get the puck past him, they kind of fell apart. And the Panthers took over the game. But yeah, Bobrovsky is the real story behind the Panthers' early good start.
Yep, Nate, fair enough, man. It helps make that $10 million cap hit look a little bit nicer too. So
a little bit, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we covered some goalies towards the top of the league. How about we jump down to some a bit more, trending in the opposite direction? Not to say they'll stay there. And this is what I'm going to ask. Are these guys that we're going to list, are they going to stay in the bottom of the goalie list, or do you think they'll pump it up by the end of the year? Kick it off, we have Darcy Kemper of the Colorado Avalanche. 5 games played, a record of 2-3-0. That's 2 wins, 3 losses, 0 overtime losses, 3.22 goals against average, and a .900 save percentage. You're a Colorado expert here, Joel. What are you thinking?
Yeah, those numbers aren't the worst. But when you're playing Colorado and when you gave up this much to get them, it's not good enough, and the goals he's letting in aren't good goals. Like he's letting some weak pucks in the net. He'll turn it around eventually, I hope. But right now, he's still not performing like advertised.
Yeah, that's kind of just what it seems like from an outsider perspective too. Is that he hasn't played well, but also it seems like the Avalanche kind of don't have everyone there, and also haven't played well. So I feel like if he can put up decent numbers in Arizona, he should be able to do it in Colorado. But for what they give up, that he has to pick it up soon.
You know, it's goaltending's a funny position, right? There's some guys that kind of thrive when they're on a shittier team. You know, they kind of step up and play a bit better. And hopefully that's not the case for Darcy. He has had some injury troubles in the past, if I believe, too. So, you know, if the guy can stay healthy, he's playing with a good team. I don't think it's any reason to panic, as you said yet. And like Joel brought up, the numbers aren't abysmal, especially as we'll see as we go down this list. So Colorado fans, I don't think I'd be too worried over there. Moving down here, we have Philip Grubauer with the Seattle Kraken. 6 games played, record of 2-3-1, 3.28 goals against average, and a .883 save percentage. You know what? Playing on a team like Seattle, the 3.28 goals against average isn't as bad as a lot of people would thought, but what does worry me is that .883 save percentage.
Yeah, looking at Grubauer, those numbers really aren't that great, but looking more into his game log, he only has one horrible game. He gave up 5 goals on 20 shots against the Flyers, which is going to really bring that down early in the season when you're not facing a ton of shots. So it's going to come up from 900. I think it has to, but playing for a team like Seattle, who's still kind of finding themselves, he'll have ups and downs early on, and maybe Seattle isn't as good as people thought they were.
Yeah, and this is the opposite side of what I was saying earlier with Kemper. It makes us not regret so much signing him, right? If he's not performing well in Seattle, a strong defensive team, at least on paper, and coaching staff, if he's not putting up the numbers there, then maybe he was right to move on from him and not pay him all the money he got there.
No, that's a good point too, especially with a couple of big deals coming up for you guys. I think Nathan McKinnon needs a contract next year, right?
Yeah, next year or the year after.
Yeah, so any money hopefully you can free up on after. That end. Yeah, true. All right, well, moving down, this is these next two guys we have talked about a bit on the show before, but I mean, they're not really showing signs of getting better, so we're going to keep talking about them until they do. Connor Hellebuyck with the Winnipeg Jets, six games played, a record of 3-2-1, 3.67 goals against average, and a .891 save percentage. I've been burnt by Hellebuyck this year probably about a good three times, whether it comes to, you know, under games or taking Winnipeg money lines. I don't know what's going on with this guy. He can't keep a puck out of the net right now.
Yeah, I haven't watched too many Winnipeg games. I watched last night. It was a big comeback against the Ducks because I bet on them. They scored two in the final few minutes to turn the game around. But, yeah, Hellebuyck, his numbers don't look good. The defense in front of him doesn't look good on paper. I don't know if this is just a matter of time and the player in front of him catching up to him. But Hellebuyck, I mean, he's been a Vezina finalist. He's been one of the best goalies in the league. But so far through six games, he has not been whatsoever.
Yeah, the Jets will go as far as Hellebuyck takes them, because as much as we wanted to think that their defense has improved, it hasn't improved on the ice so far. So yeah, he's got to get better for the Jets to contend in that division. I think he will, though. He's a great goalie. He's still young. He's going to be fighting for the starting goalie for the U.S. So he's going to be he'll turn it around.
Yeah, very fair. All right, I'm moving down to our last guy. And I think this is a guy that all three of us like. And I know we were talking up before the season starts, but goddamn, my boy Marc-Andre Fleury in Chicago is having a rough go right now. Four games played, a record of 0-4-0, a 5.74 goals against average, and an abysmal .839 save percentage. Now, I know Chicago as a team has been struggling. Obviously, defense is an issue for them, but after winning the Vezina, Fleury comes back and ends up putting up these numbers. Do you think if we did look into it, that there is a goalie after winning the Vezina has numbers this bad through the first, you know, 5-10 games of the year?
I can't think so. I mean, goals against average over 5, a save percentage under .850. He's given up at least 4 goals in every game so far, including in just less than 12 minutes to the Penguins. Like, Fleury's a guy who I liked rooting for after he left Pittsburgh, but it's tough to watch there in Chicago. I don't know if he can demand a trade. I don't know if any teams really desperately need a goalie yet, but either he has to start playing a lot better or Chicago's kind of got to see what he wants to do, if he wants to be traded or retire like he threatened, or what's going to go on there.
It's a good thing that Stan Bowman isn't the GM of the Chicago Blackhawks anymore, because this was not the move to make. Kevin Lankinen is the better goalie, as he's shown through the first few games here. He's making the saves. Fleury isn't. The problem wasn't the goaltending. It was the defense. And that's only regressed so far. Like Seth Jones, I think I don't know about tonight's game, but before tonight he was -9 and just having a horrible time. So he hasn't been the answer either. He's not even as good as Duncan Keith was last year. Duncan Keith, you know, he's older now and he's not as effective as he once was, but he's better than Seth Jones has been so far. So yeah, it's just a total shit show in Chicago.
Yeah, from all ends, pretty much. Eh? All right, boys. Well, that pretty much covers that. How about we jump right into these Thursday games? You guys ready to go?
Let's do it.
All right, first game on the docket here at the 7 p.m. time slot. We have the Boston Bruins against the Carolina Hurricanes. It'd be a good game. The game itself is in Carolina. Boston moneyline pays off +110. Carolina moneyline -135. The over-under set at 6. The over pays off +100. And the under -120. What are you thinking here, Ryan?
I'm riding with my Hurricanes once again here. It's a back-to-back for Boston. They lost in Florida on Wednesday night, going up to Carolina for Thursday night. They were not good in the second half of back-to-backs last season. They went 3-6-1 and were outscored 34-22 in 10 games. The Hurricanes have been outplaying everybody they've played. The Bruins don't have many impressive wins, as we said on last episode. So I'm riding with the hot hand here, going with the Hurricanes. I feel like they're going to get the job done.
Well, I'm still higher on the Bruins than Ryan is. they were the better team today until Bobrovsky stole the show, and then Panthers got a couple goals. But anyway, this is one of the better games of the day. These are two contenders. I was particularly high on both these teams. They've started well on both ends of the ice. The offense is clicking for both teams. Goaltending has been great. We'll see if Swayman can be a little better than Ullmark was today. Of course, we talked about Frederik Andersen. He is really good. Yeah, I like the Canes here. Other than the Bees being on a back-to-back, one matchup advantage I like is Carolina's elite penalty kill going against Boston's lethal first unit power play, which is an interesting strength-on-strength dynamic there. Hoping Carolina can neutralize Boston's main weapon. And yeah, give me the Canes. They've won us money so far, so why stop now?
Yeah, good point. I think we talked them up pretty good last week, eh? They're the Hockey Gambling Podcast, Carolina Hurricanes. So there you go. Good information there. I'm a bit torn because I did take the over in the Boston Florida game today. I think the over was set at 5.5 and they missed it at 5. My reasoning for that, two good teams, I figured they could both score. I'm going to lean the opposite this time. It kind of burnt me today. I'm going to take the under here at 6. I do like the number 6, too. I think it's a bit high. That line might move throughout the day. Keep an eye on that. But yeah, I'll take the under at 6, pays off, minus 120 on that.
I like it.
That's a good bet, yeah. I have here in their 10 second half last back-to-back last season, Bruins scored 3 or fewer goals eight times. So I feel like the under there looks good. I also had the over tonight, kind of got screwed on it. So I like that play too.
Do you wish you could have had stock in a guy like Patrick Mahomes or Christian McCaffrey? Well, now Prediction Strike makes it a real possibility. Prediction Strike is the only performance-based sports stock market where you can buy and sell shares of professional athletes as if they were stocks. It's like Robin Hood and DraftKings had a baby. Prediction Strike lets fans create portfolios of their favorite athletes so they can make money and get even closer to the game. Don't just bet on your favorite players, start investing in them. Simply download Prediction Strike's new and easy-to-use app from the App Store or sign up at PredictionStrike.com to create an account. Use code SGP, then deposit funds to buy, sell, and hold shares of your favorite players just like you would real stocks. The value of players will change based upon game performance and supply and demand, and you can trade your shares of players at any time as long as the player isn't currently in a game. Sign up with promo code SGP to receive a free athlete share with your first deposit of $20 or more.
Moving down here, we have, again, at the 7 p.m. time slot, the Arizona Coyotes against the Tampa Bay Lightning. It is a home game in Tampa. Arizona moneyline pays off plus 250. Tampa Bay moneyline minus 320. The over-under set at 5.5. The over pays minus 120. The under pays plus 100. Boys, I don't think I have to say much here. I'm taking Tampa puck line at minus 1.5. It pays off minus 110. My reasoning behind that is fuck Arizona.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I feel like if you take a side in this game, it has to be Tampa. There are too much to take on the money line. The puck line, minus 1.5, minus 110. It's good value there. All the Coyotes' losses have been by at least 2 goals. Lightning are back at home after a big 5-1 win in Pittsburgh. So I feel like they're going to come out hot.
Yeah, you can't look anywhere but Tampa Bay here. From the best game of the day to the worst game of the day. Yeah, the Coyotes are a trash team using a goalie not good enough for the Sabres, Carter Hutton. he is expected to play. Through 3 starts, he's given up nearly 8 goals a game. Lightning don't need to play their A, their B, even their C game to blow up the Coyotes. They just need to show up. If Hutton starts, I'll be playing Lightning team total as well as puck line. If it's Vezmelka, I'll do the same, just the smaller stakes. But another thing you could play is parlay the Lightning with the under, maybe, if Vasilevsky gets a start. I don't see Arizona scoring more than a goal on him. And yeah, Lightning might be comfortable just 4 or 5 goals. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
No, that's a good point. It is the NHL, and obviously Tampa is the better team, but it's pretty hard-pressed for any team to put up 6, right? That's kind of a hard thing to guarantee. So the under at 5.5 there, parlayed with Tampa, not a bad go. Moving down here, again, 7 p.m. time slot, we have the Calgary Flames against the Pittsburgh Penguins. The game itself is in Pittsburgh. Calgary moneyline pays off plus 100. Pittsburgh moneyline minus 125. The over-under set at 5.5, overpays minus 115, and the under at minus 105. Now, I know the Flames are pretty hot right now, but I don't know what it is, boys. To me, Flames are fake. I know I might get a bit of upset for that. I know that they are playing okay right now, but I don't see it lasting. And we've seen Pittsburgh be pretty strong so far. So I'm going to lean towards Pittsburgh money line at minus 125.
Yeah, the Flames have really been impressive here. This is the fifth game of their East Coast road trip. They've already won all four, three of them in regulation. Closing out in Pittsburgh. I mean, I don't think they can sweep all five games, but I do like the over in this one. The Flames have gone over in three straight games, and they also went over in their first game. The Penguins went over in two straight games and in five of six games this season. So I just feel like this is going to be 4-3 games, something like that. These are two good goalies, so I could see it going under, but I just see these teams can score, and I feel like that's gonna happen in Pittsburgh on Thursday night.
Yeah, the Flames are a hardworking team, getting solid goaltending, but they're also getting a few lucky bounces at the moment. So, yeah, Flames are fake. Casey DeSmith is likely to get the start. He was bad against the Panthers. They're still missing Letang and Malkin, of course, but there's a chance, I don't know for sure, but Crosby might return pretty quickly. I don't know if it's this game, but his return is imminent. Ryan said, Calgary's had a great road trip. You know, I think they'll be content going home without this win. You know, they might not put in their 110%. They'll be happy with winning, what, 3 or 4 or 5. And, give me the Pens, especially if Crosby is out and we get a better price in this game.
Yeah, good point, too. Minus 125, that's not bad at all. Moving down here at the 8 p.m. slot, we have the Colorado Avalanche against the St. Louis Blues. The game is in St. Louis. Colorado moneyline pays off minus 125. St. Louis moneyline plus 105. The over-under set at 6, overpays minus 115. And the under minus 105. What are you thinking here, Jolie?
Yeah, other than last year, the Blues were a team that played McKinnon best in the division. You know, they were able to control and contain the explosive speed of the Avs and take away our transition game. But now it turns out that the Knights are better at this than anyone else. But I still expect Berube to be able to slow the game down. Binnington has been improving as well. Teams playing the Blues are mostly underperforming their expected goals rate, which speaks to his abilities in that he's been playing well. I like the under here. I think that Darcy Kuemper can get his confidence back after playing well in the second half of the Knights game, even if he's still giving up those bad goals I mentioned. But I have to note, if it's anyone but Kuemper and Binnington in that, I do not want this under, as I think both starters are significantly better than their backups.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like there's a ton of disrespect to the Blues here. They're undefeated so far. They beat Colorado in the season opener in Colorado. They're home dogs at plus 105. I like the Blues here. I went back and looked at their stats. In the last 20 meetings in St. Louis, the Blues have won 14 of them. I like the Avalanche last time out against Vegas. Vegas took them down. So I see the Blues here with some good value at plus 105.
I'm with you on that one. I have penciled in St. Louis money line at plus 105 as well, especially the coming off a shutout game with their backup, Ville Husso, who put up a 34 save shutout. Now, I know 34 shots seems like a lot to give up against LA, but I watched that game, guys. A lot of the shots were from the outside. St. Louis didn't give up too many scoring chances. So I think with Binnington in net as well, a bit of a stronger goalie, I like St. Louis on that one too.
Abs are going to roll.
We'll see. All right, moving down, we have at the 10 p.m. slot here, the red-hot Buffalo Sabres against the Anaheim Ducks. The game itself is in Anaheim. Buffalo moneyline pays off plus 110. Anaheim moneyline minus 135. The over-under at 5.5. Overpays minus 110. The underpays minus 110. I don't know here, guys. This is, it's like, yeah, Buffalo's hot, and we've, you know, jokingly talked them up and things like that, but this is kind of a shit show game based on everything I've seen. You know, Ducks games have had over 6 goals in the past 4 games. The over under is set at 5.5. I'm just going to take the over at 5.5. pays off minus 110.
Yeah, this is one of those games you just look at and just like, I have no idea what to do with. I feel like the only thing to look at so far is this is the Buffalo's first time leaving the East Coast. They've played all home games and they played one away game in New Jersey. So I feel like going out to the West Coast maybe might take a toll on them playing time zone different stuff like that. They only had 2 days off, I think, before this. So I lean Anaheim. I'm probably going to stay away, and I don't really know which way to go on the total.
I said that the Coyotes Lightning game is the worst of the day, but this is a strong strong contender for that. Kind of a toilet bowl here down in SoCal. Yeah, but both teams are actually playing surprisingly well, considering their preseason projections. The Ducks even got a dose of their own medicine in their latest game against the Jets, where they were the better team, but still lost thanks to a late comeback by the Jets or the goalie pulled. And yeah, but I do lean to the Ducks here. They showed me a lot in that game. They still have a few higher-end players than the Sabres do, plus the better young guns. Zegras is starting to come into his own with a goal and assist against the Jets. Yeah, he's playing well, plus they have a superior goaltender, regardless who they start with, Gibson or Stolarz. So, yeah, I'm probably not going to watch this game at all, but might back the Ducks.
Right on. Moving down here to, again, the 10 p.m. slot, we have the Minnesota Wild against the Seattle Kraken. The game itself is in Seattle. Minnesota money line pays off -110. Seattle money line -105. The over under is set at 5.5. The over pays -120, and the under +100. Boys, what the fuck is up with this line? Minnesota against Seattle. Minnesota money line paying off -110. Let's put this in perspective. We have the 5-1-0 Minnesota Wild expected to start Cam Talbot, whose record is 5-0-0. And they're playing the expansion Seattle Kraken, and the line's only -110. Mortgage your house, fucking take up all your money, put everything on Minnesota money line in this game. This is insane.
Yeah, like you said, Minnesota's one loss was without Talbot, and that was also on the second half of a back-to-back. Besides that, it's been all wild. Seattle really hasn't shown much this season. I still feel like the Canadians are like a nothing team. They beat them 5-1. Maybe they're feeling good. And I think the Wild are definitely going to shut them down.
This might be like your last lock, eh? With you said under 6.5 and then it turned into 5.5.
Yeah.
This might start -110 and turn it to -150 by tomorrow.
So if you listen early, get in on it now. Holy.
Yeah. Yeah, but as much as I hate to say it, the Wild are a wagon right now. They're playing the coherent team game they've always excelled at, but now they have some more skilled players to work with, including Matt Zuccarello, who's had an outstanding start. I think he has 7 goals. They're also winning games while Kaprizov is not playing to the level he was last year, so watch out once he gets going. The Kraken, meanwhile, had a comfortable win over Montreal. Good for Seattle to get that first home win, but they'll fall to the better team. I also like the under in this spot, too. It's worked very well for me in cracking games so far, despite Grubauer trying to mess it up.
Yeah, that's a good stat. I didn't think about that for sure. Definitely look into it, and we're throwing some bills down. I still think these odd makers are high right now, but whatever. All right, moving down again, 10 p.m. slot. We have the Philadelphia Flyers against the Vancouver Canucks. This is a pretty tight game for this podcast here, right? We got a Canucks fan and a Flyers fan, but 10 p.m. start. The game itself is in Vancouver. Philly money line pays off -105. Vancouver money line -115. The over under set at 6. The over pays -115. And the under -105. Joel, what do you got here, bud?
I hate being the guy with two teams. I'm not a fan of the Canucks, okay?
Wait, you
I
want them to do teams? Well.
You got three.
Oh, yeah, three teams. Really, the Hurricanes, whatever. Yeah, whatever, man. Yeah, Canucks here. I like them. Flyers, they're great today. They put in 110% effort against the Oilers. But I think that they'll be tired tomorrow. And the Canucks, they lost out their home opener against the Wild. And I think they'll come out 200% tomorrow. And go, Canucks, go.
Yeah, I was liking the Flyers until I was kind of looking into them more here. They slowed down McDavid a little bit. McDavid got 2 points, and they played a hard fought game to get the win in Edmonton. But against Vancouver, going to have Martin Jones in net. The Flyers have lost their last 7 games playing on no rest, so that's kind of making me second guess that. But Vancouver, I mean, based off shot totals, hasn't been outplayed in their last 4 games. Vancouver did beat Philly in the Flyers' home opener, even though the Flyers kind of had some weak goals given up by Carter Hart. I could see similar goals being given up by Martin Jones. So I kind of like the over here. I'm not going to pick a side. I cannot say that Joel, it's not a bad bet, though, to take the Canucks in this one.
You know that Martin Jones is actually from North Van. So I don't know. Yes, I don't know if that means anything. I know Carter Hart had a good day today, and he's from Edmonton, I think, right? But yeah, Martin Jones, he might show up for his hometown. But yeah, I don't like Martin Jones. So Canucks all the way.
All right. Well, I'm going to buck the trend a little bit here, boys. I'm going to take the Philadelphia Flyers money line at -105 coming off a back-to-back based on one thing, Vancouver's level of competition. Let me go through the past seven games. They had a loss to Minnesota Wild, a 3-2 game, so pretty close. They beat Seattle. They beat Chicago. They beat Buffalo. They beat Detroit. They beat Philadelphia. And that's pretty much it.
Hey.
Are those strong teams to you right now?
Who else has beaten Buffalo
yet? And they lost to Buffalo and Detroit also. So that's
oh shit. What am I looking at?
That's even more reason.
Fuck it. I'm going with the Flyers, baby. Let's go orange and white. All in. Let's go.
It's orange and black. Orange and black. Come on.
Orange and black. False information. To be fair, it's 1:46 a.m. in Toronto right now, and I'm tired as fuck. So give me a break. But I'm all in on the Flyers. Let's go.
All right. Love to hear it. Love to hear it.
All right. Moving down to you guys. 10:30 p.m. slot. We have the Winnipeg Jets against the Los Angeles Kings. Winnipeg money line, -115. LA money line, -105. The over-under set at 5.5. Same with the under. Both paying off -110. The game is in LA. You know what? I'm so torn with Winnipeg, right? Like, based off what you've seen, how can you bet them? But you can say the same thing against LA, right? So I don't know. I'm just going to take the over at 5.5. You haven't really seen too much goaltending-wise out of Winnipeg, like we discussed earlier. And, you know, Los Angeles Kings without Drew Doughty, there's another top defenseman they're losing. I like the over at 5.5.
This is another one of those shitty games on Thursday night. That there's a lot of late games on Thursday night, so this probably one won't be watched either. Kings have lost five straight since beating Vegas in the season opener. Jets have won three straight, so just based off that, I'm going to go with the hot team and the Jets, but not a strong play whatsoever here. I mean, -115, maybe I'll get a bit cheeky, take them on the puck line, try to get some +225 odds, something like that, but not a strong play here either way.
Well, being the sole West Coaster on this podcast, I love all these late games. You know, I can finally watch all three periods. Jets all the way here. The Kings D-line is decimated, and it wasn't that strong to begin with. Cal Peterson is playing much better than Hellebuyck right now, but you know, Scheifele and Wheeler are still out, I believe. But I think that they've got some momentum going. They won the last couple games. They'll steal this one. They'll put a few on LA here with their bad decor.
Beauty. Well, moving on to our last 10:30 game slot we have on the Thursday night. We have the Montreal Canadiens against the San Jose Sharks. The game itself is in San Jose. Montreal money line pays off +115. San Jose money line -135. The over under set at 6. The over pays -105. And the under -115. You know what? Last show or two shows ago, I was talking Montreal up, saying, hey, they finally got the monkey off their back. They beat Detroit. Then they went and shoved it up my hoop. So I'm taking San Jose money line -135. I don't know how you can bet on the Habs right now.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. You have to just continue to fade the Canadians, especially with the Sharks have a -135 money line. Here's a fun stat. It may not mean much, but it's good to look at. The Canadians haven't won in San Jose since 1999, so over 20 years there. I'm going with history, going to fade the Canadians. Give me the Sharks here on the money line.
Yeah. Yeah, this line tells you to take the Sharks. I don't see what Canadians have to offer. But I think my stronger play here would be the under 6, given the fact that the Canadians can't score and the Sharks are actually getting very good goaltending for once. Aiden Hill and James Reimer, so I don't think it matters who they start. Although Reimer's actually played a little better than Aiden Hill so far. But, yeah, I don't think that it should be 6. I think it should be 5.5. So as long as the line is 6, I'll take the under there. I know the Sharks have traditionally been a high-scoring team, but this year they're getting a lot of good goaltending, so games are tending a little lower. And the Canadians, of course, haven't scored. So, Yeah, another play might be Canadians team total under 2.5. Another look there.
Yeah, that's a good call too. Any way you can fade the Canadians, by all means, try to do it for now.
Mm-hmm. Are you the best NBA bettor in the U.S.? You can prove it on OddsCrowd, and they're free to join and play fantasy betting contests. There's a season-long NBA contest with $3,000 in cash up for grabs, as well as weekly $200 contests as well. Here's how it works. Once you enter a contest, you track your bets against real odds and lines, much like you would with any pick trick tracking app. The most profitable players rise up the leaderboard. If you have the highest profit at the end of the contest, you win. And OddsCrowd isn't just fantasy betting contest. It's a social app for sports bettors. Free to download. You can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private fantasy contests with your buddies, and much more. So download the app for free or go to OddsCrowd.com today.
The SGPN app is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. The app gives you easy access to all our picks and podcasts. Don't forget to toss us an app review and download the SGPN app today.
All right, boys. So that covers our Thursday game slate. Moving down over here to the Friday games. First one on the docket at 7 p.m. We have the Florida Panthers against the Detroit Red Wings. Florida moneyline pays off minus 200. The Detroit moneyline plus 170. Over-under set at 6. Both over and the under paid minus 110. What do you got, Ryan?
You already know I'm going with the Panthers here. Come on. They beat the Bruins. That was my lock. Going on the road up here to Detroit, and kind of wary. I'm not going to take the money line. I think that's minus 200 is too much to lay there. But I like them on the puck line. All their wins have been by 2 goals or more. All the Red Wings losses have been by 3 goals or more, besides the one in Tampa. It was overtime one to start the season. So riding with the Panthers until they prove me wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one spot where I can't fade the Panthers because the Red Wings are even more fraudulent. I don't know how they keep winning these games. I guess they're getting good rookie plays from Moritz Seider and Lucas Raymond, of course, and they're getting a little better goaltending. But, the Panthers are just a lot better team. I might look to the over here, too. I don't know if Bobrovsky will start. Maybe they'll get a chance to get Spencer Knight in there. I don't have a strong play here, but Panthers on the puck line looks decent.
I'm seeing here now, I know the odds have changed since we've like even written these, putting them down, but on DraftKings, the Panthers are down to minus 175. So at that price, it may be worth looking at, but I feel like the puck line of plus 140 is probably better.
People are falling for the Red Wings, man. They're betting them.
Yeah, I don't know about that, eh? I'm with you a little bit there, Joel. I'm leaning a bit more towards the over, just in case we do see Spencer Knight a little bit. I don't know. Truth be told, like, Detroit has proven that they can actually score so far this year. At least, I know it's still early, but they have been getting goals. And obviously, if Spencer Knight's in there, I don't want to say he's going to struggle because he's a good goalie, but he is young, right? So, and we know that Florida can score too. So I don't hate the over at 6. Worst comes to worst, you might have an option to push too, right, with those even numbers. So keep that in mind at minus 110. And moving down here to the 7 p.m. slot, we have the Columbus Blue Jackets at the New York Rangers. Games in New York. Columbus moneyline pays off plus 150. New York moneyline minus 170. The over at 5.5. The over pays minus 120. And the under plus 100. This game, I'm leaning towards the under here, guys, at 5.5, paying off minus 120. Elvis Merzlikins, we talked about earlier, a 1.48 goals against average, 0.952 save percentage in 4 games. And even Igor Shesterkin, who's expected to get the nod for New York, 2.17 goals against average and a 0.933 save percentage in 5 games. Those are some pretty good numbers within the pipes. So I like the under here at 5.5.
I think that's a good way to go in this game, especially with the Rangers being that big of a favorite, and they really haven't shown too much yet. I mean, they haven't had a chance to, but they haven't shown too much. Shesterkin had a great game against Toronto that they won. But also besides that, I mean, the Rangers aren't going to score too many goals. At least they haven't so far this year. They haven't scored more than 3 goals in a game, and the Blue Jackets don't have too much of an offense. So I think the under is definitely the best look here.
Yeah. There's an interesting contrast of styles here. Jackets, they play that slower build up, mess you up in the neutral zone kind of style. But the Jackets are all about that fast transition style. which usually leads to more goals, and they should be getting more goals. So I think that the totals are kind of correlated here with the Rangers and the over and the Jackets and the under. But that said, Shesterkin has been playing great. So, you know, a goalie can always mess up the totals there. So, again, not a strong play here. But, yeah, I lean to the under there as well, 5.5.
It always scares me when all three of us are on the same bet. Eh?
Yeah.
Screams a blowout in New York, 7-2 right. Game or something. Who knows? All right, moving down here. Again, at the 7 p.m. slot, we have the Chicago Blackhawks against the Carolina Hurricanes. The game is in Carolina. Chicago moneyline pays off +180. Carolina moneyline -215. The over-under is at 6. The over pays off +100. The under -120. Boys, I'm leaning Carolina puck line on this at -1.5. Last time I checked, it pays off +110. How do the Canes not blow Chicago out of the waters here? They're going to beat the wheels off this team.
Yeah, the only thing that makes me hesitate is that it is the second half of back-to-back, so I do want to see how they play on Thursday night. But, yeah, I'm riding the Hurricanes. I mean, the Blackhawks suck. They really do. They're so bad. So you have to go with the Hurricanes here.
My Leafs could only beat them in overtime, for Christ's sakes, though, tonight.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I would take the over here. I would expect the Canes to start their backup, who is Antti Raanta, of course. Well, he's a good backup too, but he doesn't have the starts that Anderson has, so he might be a little rusty maybe. So I would take the over here. Like the Blackhawks, they can't defend at all. If Fleury's in net, just count up 5-6 goals for the Canes. Yeah, maybe Canes team total here would be my look. Again, this is not a one I feel strongly about. I don't trust the Blackhawks are going to show up in one random game and then they're just going to spoil everyone's fun. This might be it because it looks too easy with Carolina. But I think that there'll be goals in this one.
Yeah, good call. I think we're all on the same page on that one. Moving down, 7 p.m. slot here, Arizona Coyotes against the Washington Capitals. It is a home game in Washington. Arizona moneyline pays off +235. Washington moneyline -300. The over-under set at 6. Over pays -120. The under +100. I don't know, boys. I know if you have looked, I think Alex Ovechkin is tied for a league high in goals or maybe one off at 6 or 7. I got a feeling Ovi goes off tonight. I'm taking either the over 6 at -120 or maybe even Washington team total, whatever that may be.
A lot of lopsided games on Friday night. I'm just looking here at the game parlays. You can get the Capitals an over 6.5 for +150. I feel like that may be a decent look, especially with the Coyotes on a back-to-back, so they're probably playing their worst goalie. But also, as Joel knows very well, the Caps, they're frauds. So who knows if the Coyotes could finally get their first win here. They have to at some point, but I feel like the Capitals in the over is the safest bet.
I have to add a little caveat to that because Kuznetsov is playing his ass off. And if he plays like he did a couple of years ago, the Caps might be legit again. Because, he had another great game today against the Wings, even though they lost. But Arizona on a back-to-back, I don't know how you can back them. That just screams bloodbath. As for who's a better goalie, it's hard to tell with Vejmelka and Carter Hutton. Who knows what Vejmelka is yet. Yeah, this tells me just either it's a letdown spot, Washington. No, it's not a letdown spot because they're going to want revenge. They lost the Red Wings game, so they're going to be coming out firing here. I think that Capitals -1.5 is a good look.
Yeah, I think even TJ Oshie put up a hat trick the other night too, right? So that's a guy I always forget, but damn, he's one good player.
Oh yeah, he's having a hell of a season too.
Moving down to our 8 p.m. slot here, we have the Anaheim Ducks against the Vegas Golden Knights. Anaheim moneyline pays off +235. Vegas moneyline -295. The over-under set at 5.5. A lot of fives there. Holy shit. The over pays -120. The under +100. I'm going off the beaten path a little bit here, boys. We've talked before. We don't really think that Vegas is an offensively scoring team. A lot of struggles down the middle. Anaheim hasn't looked, you know, the greatest either. I kind of like the Ducks puck line at plus 1.5 here. I think they might keep this close. It pays off minus 115. It's a bit of a gamble, a bit of a kind of weird bet, but I like Ducks puck line at plus 1.5.
I actually like that play a lot. That's hit in only one. It hasn't hit in one of their games. Otherwise, they've been all very close one-goal games. And I'm even considering taking the Ducks here. I was trying to find an underdog here, a big underdog to take on a night full of games with big favorites. And it could be the Ducks. See how they play against the Sabres on Thursday night. Second half of back-to-back. So it probably won't be Gibson, but Anthony Stolarz, he can steal some games. And if the Golden Knights are kind of frustrated a little bit, the Ducks were a better team against Winnipeg, but they lost. Plus 235, I feel like there's good value there. But as Talon said, the puck line, I feel like, is a good luck here too.
Yeah, I don't think the Knights have scored a power play goal yet. I was leaning to
they have not. No.
Yeah, that's what losing Pacioretty and Stone can do for you. Yeah, I was going to take the under 5.5, but bringing up the Ducks puck line there, that's actually a better look because, yeah, they can keep it close. They can score a few goals, apparently. Against Hellebuck anyway.
Anybody's scoring on him right now, though. So
yeah, let's all jump on board. Ducks +1.5. Let's go.
Team puck line. I love it. Ducks fly together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. All right. We're moving down to our last game on the Friday docket here. An 8:30 p.m. start. We have the Ottawa Senators at the Dallas Stars. Game is in Dallas. Ottawa money line plays off plus 160. Dallas money line minus 185. The over-under set at 6. Over plays plus 100. The under minus 120. What are you thinking here, Joel?
Yeah, the Stars today, they were totally dominant against the Knights. They should have won the game 4-5-1, like I said earlier on. They got to be feeling bad. They're going to be stewing tomorrow. Just pissed at themselves. They didn't win that game because they should have. And they're going to come out firing against the Senators, who are pesky, but I don't think that they can quite handle the physicality of the Stars. You know, they'll be feisty, they'll be pesky, but when it comes to the strength of the Stars, I think that they'll overmatch them and dominate them. They've got better goaltending too. I think Kudobin played a good game today.
Yeah.
Stars, they just have a little more experience. I like the veterans a lot. And Miro Heiskanen, one of my favorite players in the league. I think he scored a goal today too. Give me the Stars here. In regulation.
Ooh.
Spicy.
I like it.
I'm liking the under here. Outside of the Senators' last game, it was a 7-5 loss to the Caps. Their first five games have all gone under 6 goals. They've been 5 goals or less. And in all the Stars' 7 games so far, it's been 5 goals or less. So I feel like the under here is a good look. I mean, neither of these teams can score that much, and they both have solid goalies, with Matt Murray playing decently in his one start so far, and Kudobin is decent. So I can see probably a close 3-2, 3-1 game here.
I was going to say, I'm right with you. That's what I got. The under at 6. 6 seems kind of like a high number here, right?
It'll be 5.5 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Maybe
I guarantee.
Five,
yeah.
Maybe that should be the mortal lock and keep the trend going, eh? No, I like that. I like under 6, even if it is a 5.5. I like that too. Whatever that pays, probably be around the same thing, minus 120. Stars traditionally a pretty low-scoring team, and Ottawa is a young team. When they do pop off, they can pop off, but I don't see it happening against Dallas. Like you said, Godovin has been pretty strong. If that is who they're playing, Christ, they got 4 goalies in there now, don't they? So who knows who they'll start, but they're all pretty good, so I like the under there. All right, boys, with that locks up our Friday slate here, you ready to jump to the mortal locks or what?
Let's lock it in. Let's do it.
Right on. Ryan, how about you start us off this week, bud?
All right. I mean, I've already kind of given some hints to what it's going to be. I'm riding with my Hurricanes on Thursday night on the money line, minus 135 against the Bruins. I think the Bruins are a good team. I'm not as down on them as Joel makes it seem, but I feel like Bruins back-to-back, they were not good in back-to-backs, especially early last season. And the Hurricanes are just really playing well right now. So I like the Hurricanes. I think minus 135 is a great line for them.
I'm still not a Canucks fan, but I am for this. My mortal lock, the Canucks money line. Go Canucks, go.
All right. I talked about this earlier on the show. I think Vegas odds makers right now are high off their gourd, for Christ's sakes. Minnesota money line -110 is the play on the day. If this team can't beat Seattle in overtime, I don't even know what to tell you. That's the play right there, boys. Minnesota money line -110. And jumping into Friday here, what do we got?
We just talked about it. I the under in the Ottawa-Dallas game. That's my mortal lock for Friday. I feel like these teams both won't be able to score a lot. Be a very low-scoring game between two low-scoring teams. And like you said, Dallas has three or four goalies they can use. Ottawa's not going to score either, so give me the under six.
Yeah, and I'm with my Stars here. Like I said, they'll bully the Senators off the ice, get them out of the rink. Let's go Stars in regulation, -118. All right, I'll play it up to -130.
With you two both on that game, I almost want to take like Stars puck line so we can all ride the same game together, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going with the Rangers and the Blue Jackets under at 5.5. Like I said, Merzlikin and Shesterkin, try saying those names 10 times fast together. I think they're going to keep it under at 5.5, pace off -120. All right, boys. Well, anything else we want to jump in and add here before we wrap up or what?
No, just that we've had a killer week so far. Hopefully we can keep it going on Thursday and Friday.
Yep, for sure. Make sure everybody checks out the Sports Gambling Podcast Network website, as well as the Slack group. Lots of cool stuff going on in the Slack. I love sitting there talking to people mid-games. We've been getting some good praise, so keep pumping our tires. Keeps us going for sure.
Good live bets there, too, including some European hockey from Talent for the middle of the day. So definitely check that out.
Yeah, every now and then I'll drop one in for you, boys. So keep an eye out for sure. And podcast availability. Where can everybody find us here, Ryan?
Oh, we are now live on both Apple and Spotify, and I think some other places. But make it easy. You can search Hockey Gambling Podcast, or for Apple, you can go to sg.pn/hockey. And for Spotify, it's sg.pn/hockeys. Go there, subscribe, follow, leave a rating and review. You know, let us know what you like. Let us know what you don't like. If we help you win some money, great. Let us know what you think.
Beauties. And then on that Sports Gambling Podcast Network website, always lots of articles being pumped out, guys. I know we all try to get some stuff out there pretty regularly, too. And not just hockey, man. If you're looking to find some stuff on college football, basketball, you know, there's the World Series and baseball going on now. Lots of cool shit on that website for sure. So by all means, feel free to check it out.
Yeah, we got all the sports going on right now. It's a great time of the year. Great time to check it out.
Equinox.
That's it, eh? It's this time of the year where what you got MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL all running together. Cricket for the fine folks that are loving that in our Slack group as well. We got everything, boys. If you can play it, we got it. All right, guys. I am Talon Jenkins. You can find me at Twitter at Talon_Jenkins94.
I am Ryan Gilbert. You can follow me on Twitter at rgilbertsop.
I'm Joel Meyer, and you can find me anywhere but at the Vancouver Rogers Arena.
Noted hater of the Vancouver Canucks, Joel Meyer. Keep an eye out for him in the Slack group as well. Always pumping out some great content in there for sure. And boys, let's kick some ass this week, eh? Big weekend.
Let's get that sweet money.
Yes, sir.